Corinthians, verse 10. As we continue on chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we are going through, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Got ahead of myself. I tend to transpose numbers. Something I didn't know about myself until I started teaching school. So your future is in my hands. Scary. They're all going to become tax attorneys. No. All right. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 10. Father, I just thank you for your word, and I just pray as we open up your word. Your word is truth. Your word changes us. And Lord, if we abide in your word, we will truly be your disciples, and we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And Lord, I pray as we continue to study your word, that today some people really understand their freedom they have and the great price you paid for that freedom. And they truly live Holy Spirit-led lives. I pray that there's an indwelling of their spirit, an overflowing of their spirit as they leave this place of your spirit. And Lord, just thank you that you gave us the helper, the gift, the one that is inside us continually. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for changing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk about the four ministries of the Holy Spirit. And there's more than that, but just four that are mentioned in this section of his word, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But God has revealed, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So, who is the Spirit? Who he is? The third person of the Trinity. His name means comforter. Comforter means called by your side. Called by your side. The comforter, called by your side. The one that comforts us. In John 14, 26, he says, but the comforter shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. So, the comforter comes alongside of us all the time, and the Comforter teaches us things. The second thing is, he's our guide. In John 16, 13, it says, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. And then he, again, is a teacher. He reveals truth. He's eternal. He's holy. He's omniscient. He has truth and wisdom and life. And Romans 8, 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the sin and death. So the Spirit of God reveals the deep things of God, the truths, the promises of the Old Testament, the things God prepared beforehand. And one of these amazing truths is the gospel. The gospel. The good news that Jesus came to earth, Son of God, perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Went to the cross, cruelly crucified, put in the grave, raised 3 days later, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And for those who place their faith and trust in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a mystery. It's amazing that God would do that. But he did that for us. And so, what do we know about God? We think we know lots about God. There's the old theologians and study about God. There's even debates about God. You might have seen it. In the Answers of Genesis Man, Ken Ham against Bill Nye the Science Guy on Tuesday. It was published live and all over the place. If you watched that, it was an interesting debate. Praise the Lord. Ken Ham presented the gospel 1, 2, 3 times. That's what he was there for, right? I'm a believer. This is what I believe. You too can have a faith in Jesus Christ and an eternal life if you place your faith in him. Praise the Lord for that. That's amazing. That's what it's all about. He had this debate. So Paul says that no one knows the things of God And the only thing we can do is if we have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, no amount of time in the classrooms, no amount of theological degrees, no amount of time studying books and having all these PhDs behind your name, no amount of time can really truly understand the mind of God. It's only through the Spirit can show us what really matters. It's only through His Spirit He can reveal to us what is in our heart and His heart about life and where you should serve and what you should do. And what glorifies God is Him, the Spirit, in me. And often we think our life is about me and us and the things that are going on in our lives, the problems, the trials, the great things. And that gets your mind off what is really true and important. It's not about us. It's not about me. Because we can't figure it out anyway. Aren't you tired of trying to figure it out? Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe you do and your relationship with Jesus Christ is kind of cold and distant and you're still trying to figure things out in your own strength and do things your own way. Aren't you tired of trying to figure it out? Because the mystery of God is revealed through His Spirit and He shows people what human eyes don't see, what human ears can't hear, and what human mind cannot understand. The message, again, that speaks one of the greatest mysteries and truths in this world is the gospel. And God calls everyone to glorify Him, to know Him, and to love Him. But another mystery that I think about is why do people just reject Him? He's the greatest gift that you can have on the world. And not only this world, but the eternal life. And people reject Him. He calls people out of His love. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins, and the Spirit convicts us of our sins and the need for a Savior. And if you watch the debate, you could see Bill Nye going, "I don't get it. I don't understand. It's not reasonable to me." Because his mind is for the reason and the natural things of the world. And when we as Christians, we by faith give our place, our faith and trust in Him through His grace and His mercy, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our heart and believe in Jesus as Lord and our Savior. And that in itself is a mystery. Why did God choose to save the world this way? Really? Why? And we know the answer. Because of His love. Because He loves us. And He loves us. And the Holy Spirit, what He does is He indwells in us. The instant you receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is living in you, alive and well. And we tend to want to live our lives not filled with His power or filled with His presence. It's there. Oh yeah, I've only got the Holy Spirit, but you know what? I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to take over and do it my way, not having been led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts for each of us to use to further His kingdom. And some of us have not tapped into the Holy Spirit, His power. We're doing things in our own strength. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "Not by my might or power, but through my Spirit. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." Oh, the freedom we can have when we live Spirit-filled lives. Personal application in my life, when I tend to do things in my own strength, in my own flesh, I get influenced by the world. And you probably do too, let's be honest, right? Oh, as a school teacher, what? Here's more they want us to do. What? Here's this kid that I can't get through to, even though I've tried to do this discipline and that discipline. And this, why isn't he learning? That sort of thing. Simple things. And then as they don't get your own way, what do you tend to do? Pout. Take your toys and go home. Get grumpy. Grumble. Complain. Oh, my job is terrible. Blah, 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 blah. Rather than going, "Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Give me the power and the strength and the patience. Thank you for my job. Thank you. How can I reach this child? How can you use me in a way that is glorifying to you? Get my eyes off of myself and onto what you want me to do with this child. Do you want me to present the gospel to this one? What do you want me to do?"
The Holy Spirit gives us freedom that we can be led in a Spirit-filled life. And when we have the power of the Holy Spirit, when we don't, we squelch to Him by taking up the reins that He wants to control us. The Holy Spirit directed and guided the written word. Look at me in 13. These things we also speak not in words, which is man and wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. He taught the apostles to write down the words of the Bible. He taught them, and then they used their own style. He didn't. When we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, He doesn't take away our personalities. Wouldn't it be a shame? We're all just like robots. Must follow Jesus, right? No. We have our personalities. We have a free will. We have a choice in the mind. What am I going to do? Who am I going to serve today? I'm going to be spirit led by the Spirit, or led by my flesh or the temptation looking at me? Am I led by my spirit, or am I led by the world or my peers lead me to do the wrong thing? What am I going to do? How am I going to live? He chose these men, just men, to write down inspired truth. He chose these men, these fishermen, a Pharisee, a legalist, a doctor, just to name a few, to write down these inspired, God-breathed words, inspired truth. It is a mystery, too, as we read His Word. Sometimes we want to complicate it so much. But we use the Scripture to understand the Scripture, and Scripture to interpret the Scripture. And it's about your heart, not your head, how much you're filled with the Spirit. Are you praying before you open up His Word? Lord, guide me to what You want me to read. What do You want to teach me today? What do You show me in Your Word? How do I need to change? It's not how much you know. It's how much He is allowing to work in your heart. Robert Wilson was a great linguist. He knew 9 languages, translated the Bible in 9 different languages. And he lectured on the trustworthiness of God. And the young men, he said this at the end of his lecture. He was so convicted by the Spirit, because he thought he knew it all. He had all the degrees behind him. And sure, he was used by the Lord mightily. But he said this. He said, "Young men, there are many mysteries in this life. I do not pretend to understand many things. They're hard to explain. But I tell you this morning with the fullest assurance that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Amazing. He loves me, and the Bible tells me to show. Led by the Spirit. And when we get to that point in our life, when we sing a song that says, "With all my heart I will worship You and praise You," I wonder if truly we have given all our heart to the One that has given His complete and total love and life for us. Because when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He indwells the believers. The body, this body is His temple. He baptized you and sealed you, and He remains in you. The Holy Spirit is freedom, and we live through Him with victory over our temptations and over our habits and over the bondages of all the worlds, over the world systems and over Satan. He helps you think heavenly thoughts. What are you thinking right now? There's no football. Can't be thinking about that anymore. All right? Baseball, maybe. Right? Maybe you're thinking about issues in your family. Problems. Maybe you're thinking about arguments. Maybe you're thinking about other things. Maybe you're thinking just, "Gosh, man, I'm hungry." Or maybe you're saying, "Stop shouting, you're waking me up." All right? Whatever you're thinking. But those are the things that you might be thinking, and that's the natural man. We battle that all the time, right? But we think of the deep things of God. Yes, the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God, the heavenly things, the promises, the blessings, the wonder of it all, the amazing things. Imagine the most amazing thing that you have ever witnessed or seen. Could be a painting. How did that guy actually think of that and actually paint that beautiful scene?
Could be the Super Bowl halftime show. Okay? Not so much. All right? Could have been maybe the thing that you saw, you're experiencing this wonderful thing, just the amazing God working in creation. Could have been the beautiful car show you went to and saw the fantastic cars. Or maybe you, the time you went to the front stage of the rock concert. Whatever it is, think that heaven outshines that far more than anything on this earth. One time I went to go and I was on a mission trip and I got to see Niagara Falls. If you've never seen Niagara Falls, it is incredible. Just the noise of it. You're miles away, you can hear this noise, and you get up close and you hang onto the rail because somehow when you get close to a ledge, especially with water, it kind of wants to suck you in. I don't know, you may not think like that, but I do. It's like, oh, scary. Back away from that rail. But it's just incredible and beautiful. And this is just one of the mysteries of God. God has revealed the mysteries of heaven to us through His Spirit. And you think about that. In the Spirit, we have a never-ending supply of His power. Fill me up, Lord, just like the Niagara Falls. Over and over and over and over again. And then what comes out is Him, not us. And honestly, wouldn't you want people to know Him rather than you? He's revealed the mysteries of heaven to us through His Spirit, not just what it were really like. And when we get to heaven, it tells us in Revelation, it'll be good, it'll be safe, there'll be no more tears, we'll have new bodies, and we will be with Jesus basking in His glory and His light. So like the Niagara Falls, the indwelling of Spirit is a continual process. And the more we yield to Him, the more He can use us, because He purifies us and sets us apart for God's work. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, as in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And so when we think heavenly thoughts and think about that, we have in our minds the excited anticipation about heaven. And we get more excited about heaven than the things that go down here on earth. And that should motivate us to witness, to further His kingdom, to serve, to further His kingdom, to give, to further His kingdom, to be heavenly minded. And sometimes we cannot be heavenly minded because we get so bogged down with the world. How come, Lord, You allow so much pain and suffering? Lord, I just can't take one more thing. I just got in an accident, found out that someone in my family has a disease, my daughter's being rebellious, whatever it is. Everything seems to be upside down, and everything is doing, because everyone is doing right in their own eyes. And we get our eyes onto the world and the problems, and what happens is we take our eyes off Jesus, and then we become grumbly and critical, and we don't live that Spirit-filled life. And then we've got to turn around and realize, hold on, Lord, wasn't it my sin that put You on this cross? Wasn't that the death? Well, didn't I deserve Your wrath? Didn't I deserve that punishment? Yet by grace and Your mercy, You love me and You have forgiven me. That is being heavenly minded, looking at people as the Lord does. And the problems that Jesus can only answer, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And now in our lives as believers, we can quench the Holy Spirit. How do we quench the Holy Spirit? By having sin in our lives. Think of Saul. God chose him to be king. And Saul, through pride and through anger, through wanting to control everything, through being fearful, through jealous, in 1 Samuel 16:14, Bible says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." From Saul. And so today, if you're here and you're kind of playing Christian, where you have one foot in the world and one foot for Christianity, "I'll come to church, but don't talk to me about that. You know, don't take this away from me. I like that." That can be a most miserable position. A quote, who is the most miserable person in the world? One might answer, the wicked, the unsaved person, surely must be because he is on his own way to hell. But that's not true. The unsaved can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. However, true Christian cannot. The moment the Christian accepts Jesus as his Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in his life, and he can no longer enjoy a life of sin. Therefore, a Christian who is not right with God is the most miserable person in the world. His own carnal desires will not let him enjoy his Christianity, and the Holy Spirit will not let him enjoy his sin. Double-mindedness. To be heavenly-minded is to give everything to Christ. And if there is sin in your life, we're going to give you an opportunity right now not to be so miserable. To confess it and be done with it. And I'm going to have Jim come on up and play some music. And we're going to spend the next 5 minutes between you and God. And I want you to spend some time seriously thinking about, one, am I a believer? If I'm not a believer, pray to receive him right now. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I need you. I believe in you, I trust in you, and I repent for my sins. If you are here today and there's habits you need to break, confess it right now and be done with it. Habits, gluttony, drinking, drugging, lusting, smoking, narcotics, all sorts of different things. If there's issues in your life, there's unforgiveness, there's anger, there's bitterness or pride, sexual sins, cussing, thought life, what are you watching, what are you listening to? Who are you putting your priorities in? Are you stealing finances, doubts and fears, procrastination? Maybe there's things you need to deal with and confess about relationships. You have bitterness and unforgiveness. It's between the spouse and the children and family. There's battles, there's hardships. There's the job, there's the boss. Maybe it's someone here. However the Spirit leads, we're going to silently, as the music plays, take the time and confess it right now. Because I want you guys to have Spirit-led lives. Where you're led by His power and the great things. And if there's sin in your life, you can't lead a Spirit-led life. You're led by your flesh. You're led by the world. You're led by your peers. So, in the next 3 or 4, as the song plays, between you and God, confess those sins right now.